Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I got to convince that computer to play the Mark and Ben open. I do have one, but I deliberately took it out a couple weeks ago when you weren't here, but I never put it back in.
Since, what, 2010?
2011 is when you started with us as a co-host. Yeah, 2011, 2012, something like that.
The famous call with the lady talking to you, and then she goes.
He was using the restroom.
The toilet. Remember that? That was one of your first ones.
One of our good callers one time called. She was talking about a new book or something, and she was using the facilities while she spoke with us.
It was
just plainly obvious. Well, that's all.
Obviously multitasking.
So, yeah, we have some guests here today, so sorry to gross you out right at the early part of the show. But now we got that out of the way, so that's the upside. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. I am Mark Lawrence. Ben Reichley is our co-host. He's a good local businessman. He's American First, a Republican committee person, happens to be a father. And let's see what else. He wears a lot of hats around this town.
Pennsylvania Constitution.
He can read. So he's a Republican who can read. Now, is that an insult, or is that just that's the way they all are? All right.
It sounds like the temper of the left and the progressives.
All right. Touche.
Touche.
All right. We got some guests on board, too, so we're going to get serious and talk about some fun events this weekend. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. or text us at 70236. If you use the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, please thank and utilize and patronize the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. So we thank them for being our sponsors. Guest today, Freddie Carlip is back. She's a member of Chabad of Lewisburg, which is a Jewish community synagogue, and it is a branch. Chabad is a branch of Judaism. Am I sort of summarizing that okay?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Well, Freddie's back. And Runner's
Gazette.
Okay.
Yes.
The editor and founder and chief data inputter. How much data entry do you do before the Gazette comes out? Holy smokes.
A lot. Everything. And now we are migrating to a new website, and that's been taking a lot of time.
All right. Well, yeah, this is a runner's go-to book with all the race results is sort of one of the big things, but all kinds of advice. And that's where Miss Road Manners.
Yes.
Okay. That's where she came from?
She came from Roadrunners Club of America and has been very visible throughout the country and in Runner's Gazette.
All right, fantastic. Yeah, talking about road etiquette, not just for runners, but for motorists, too. So I think there's been some progress. I think runners are top of the mind when you see them. All right, so that's Freddie Carlip, and we just know her as an outspoken woman that really helps drive positive conversation around our community. Mary Asha Baumgarten is back. She is the co-director of Chabad of Lewisburg, which Chabad of Lewisburg is a facility, it is a community, and maybe kind of a movement, too. So, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate you coming back, and thanks for all you're doing in Lewisburg. You describe Chabad of Lewisburg for me, please.
Chabad of Lewisburg is a branch of an international organization with centers, around the entire world in over 100 countries. The goal of Chabad of Lewisburg, the mission statement, if you will, is for there to be a place for every single Jew to feel at home and to feel that they can celebrate their Judaism, a place where they belong, where Judaism is fun and interesting and inspiring, and it's theirs.
And Chabad of Lewisburg existed before you came to town?
No, we opened Chabad of Lewisburg.
You did it.
We opened the branch area.
Do you mind if I ask how one goes about doing that, going to a town that doesn't have a synagogue and starting one?
Are you asking from the point of view of Chabad or from the town?
Both.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I know so little.
So within Chabad, there is some kind of system. Every Chabad is started by the... Usually it's a couple that work together, a husband and wife, and they find a place they want to start a Chabad, and then there's a formal, you know, kind of application process through the hierarchy, so to speak, of Chabad, where you get approved, and then you move out and you get started on your own. You're on your own, where, you know, independently funded, independently organized, and kind of overseen by the regional Chabad.
Right, and how do you get the word out to all the members of the Jewish community in Lewisburg?
Slowly but surely.
Ask Freddie. Ask Freddie's
we
the
found
first
Freddie. She helps us.
Okay.
Well, obviously then you thought the Lewisburg community was in need of a Jewish religion organization.
We felt that the Lewisburg Jewish community was in need of, you know, there is obviously some Jewish organization here in town. There's a temple. Mm-hmm. But we feel like we offer something a little bit different, and we want to give the opportunity for all Jews to celebrate their Judaism in whichever way that they feel comfortable and that works for them. And yeah, we thought there was an opening here.
Do you work with the temple?
Not officially. Mm-hmm. Nina's a friend. Mm-hmm. We speak with her, Rabbi Nina Mandel. But we haven't officially worked with them.
In your promotion, you say for Jewish people to feel free to celebrate their religion and their faith, et cetera, et cetera.
We're right now functioning out of our home, and we actually like that model because we feel that Judaism is something that can be celebrated as a kind of wholesome Jewish experience. We want people to feel like they have a Jewish home here in Lewisburg with a low threshold. There's no necessary background, no necessary affiliation, no necessary membership. Everyone is welcome at whatever point they're at to join us and to join us, you know, with joy and with inspiration.
Fantastic. And growing community, Freddie?
It is. There are people that I've never met, and I've lived here a long time, that I met at Chabad, and I've made new friends. It's a very informal, welcoming, warm, loving community, and there are all levels of observance among people. There are very observant people. There are people that don't observe all of the holidays, and we all come together. This is an expression from a fitness group, but no judgment.
Absolutely.
You don't walk in feeling, my Hebrew's rusty, they're going to hate me, or I don't know enough about Jewish holidays, they won't like me. You don't feel that. And everybody is open to learning more, to becoming more invested, and to becoming more a part of the Chabad family in Lewisburg. It's wonderful.
All right. And this Chabad and Chabad are two different things. Can you explain that briefly?
No, it's the same thing.
It is the
just
same thing.
Pronounced differently.
Oh, I got you. It is the same thing.
Translation.
But it's a branch of Judaism. It's
kind of a movement within Judaism, yeah.
A movement more casual, more accepting, perhaps?
I don't know. Well, it's absolutely accepting. It has a very rich philosophy behind it. It's not just, a group of people who decide to get together and do something. There's actually philosophical tenets behind, and hundreds, I would even say thousands of books written about Jewish Chabad philosophy. And it plays out in Chabad organizations who are, practicing that.
All right, you're taking it to the streets this weekend. The community menorah lighting occurs again in Hufnagel Park. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. On Sunday, December 2nd, that's this Sunday, at 4:30, we're going to be lighting a menorah in Hufnagel Park, a 6-foot menorah. There'll be a celebration there at the menorah. And then there'll be a Hanukkah party following that at the old high school in Lewisburg. That's at 815 Market Street. And everyone's welcome to join. We'd love for everyone to join. The event is open for everyone, free. Come celebrate Hanukkah with us.
What happens at 4:30 p.m. at Hufnagel Park?
We'll be lighting the menorah then,
okay.
Singing some Hanukkah songs, enjoying some Hanukkah spirit, and then we'll be moving over to the high school for the party.
And everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Of any faith.
Of any faith.
Or no faith.
Or no faith.
Mm-hmm. Do you get...
Absolutely.
Do you get converts? Is that something that's...
We've had some people who are either interested in converting, in the process of converting, or have already converted, so yeah.
All right, well, good. Okay, and tell me a little bit more about the party at the Green Space Center, which is the old high school, the grand Hanukkah party.
It's very grand. We'll be having all kinds of Hanukkah treats. So there'll be latkes and donuts, which are the traditional Hanukkah treat. They're fried in oil because the Hanukkah story talks about the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days after the Jewish rebels who resisted the oppression of the Syrian Greeks were victorious in their... were miraculously victorious in their battle against the Greeks. They returned to their temple, which had been defiled and messed up by the Greeks, and they couldn't find any oil to light the menorah, and they found one small jar of oil, and they lit the menorah with that small jar of oil, and the oil burned for 8 days, which was important because that was how long it was going to take them to get new oil. So to remember this miracle of the oil, we have accustomed to eat oily foods. So we have latkes, donuts, so we'll have those at the Hanukkah party on Sunday, and lots of other good food, and some crafts for kids, and fun for everyone.
You talked about the Hanukkah spirits. Is that liquid spirits also?
No alcohol, sorry.
Okay. It's the Protestant in me.
Well, and we have a tradition of eating oily foods around here,
yes,
too.
I was going to say that.
Kinda
it's a great tradition.
All right, so, and the public really is invited.
So that was the first conservative group of saving energy to work further. So they were the first conservationists.
I guess so.
Energy efficient. All right,
energy
no argument
efficient,
there.
Absolutely.
Again, the public is invited to this. You know, this is certainly for the Jewish community and our whole region. If you can hear my voice, but everybody's welcome to both of these events.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we are talking about Chabad of Lewisburg having the menorah lighting this Sunday at Hufnagel Park at 4:30 p.m. and the Grand Hanukkah party shortly thereafter at the Green Space Center. Again, everybody from the public invited to that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this growing community. We have to mention anti-Semitism on the increase. It was so harsh to see that sentence pop up in news stories, that anti-Semitism on the increase in the U.S. And, of course, the Tree of Life synagogue shooting. We can't let anybody go that sits in these chairs anymore without talking about what's happening in our nation overall. So we're going to do that at this table here, but we would invite you to join us telephonically if you would like to call us. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. Rob Center, our fabulous producer, standing by. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236. We will be right back.
Who likes camping out for deals? You don't have to at Sunbury Motors Kia.
We wanna see you.
It's the Black Friday sales event going on now through the end of the month at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Before you buy, give Kia a try.
With bonus cash before you begin your holiday adventures.
Before you buy, give Kia a try.
With $3,500 off on a 2019 Kia Sorento V6.
Before you buy, give Kia a try.
With many models to choose from under 20 grand. That's right, driveway in a brand new vehicle for under 20 grand, including a 2018 Kia Rio for as low as $14,977. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. While you don't have to camp out for these deals, you do want to hurry, because they won't last long at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Tax and tags extra. Offer expires 11/30/18. All rebates included. Restrictions apply. Warranties and limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And you're welcome to text us at 70236.
No, everyone should be texting. Not while they're driving.
Not while you're driving.
Yeah, but texting is the new way. If you're emailing or leaving voicemails, I hate to say it, ladies, as my daughter and her friends tell me, they're high schoolers, you're not in the crowd.
You're behind schedule. Yeah, if you're
and
on Facebook.
Facebook is old and tired now. And, I mean, it's interesting that the people who didn't grasp technology, now there's a second wave of technology coming. And the young folks are driving it.
You're farther behind. All right, yeah, and my daughter tells me, Dad, please don't try Instagram while driving. I said, there's no chance of that, honey. We're pretty safe there. Okay.
You're not taking a selfie in the snowstorm as you drive through?
No, not really. Maybe later, but not yet. So, okay. We read about the Tree of Life synagogue shooting, and there was a revelation associated with that, is that anti-Semitism is on the rise. We did have a great panel here with Rabbi Mandel here last week, and Susan Jordan, or a couple weeks ago, Susan Jordan was here as well. And your thoughts, your reaction, why is this happening? I'm not sure that we were able to ever really figure out why it was occurring. Thoughts there, please, Mary Asher?
I don't know why it's happening. I think that's a hard question for anybody to answer. Of course, no one, you would think no one wants it to be happening, but clearly there are people who are. The only thing I can think of to say to respond, I mean, how do you respond to something like that? Is really the message of Hanukkah, which is twofold. Firstly, the message of Hanukkah, and this is actually the reason why we specifically celebrate Hanukkah in the streets with a public menorah lighting as opposed to other Jewish holidays, is that the message of Hanukkah is one of religious freedom. The Maccabees were fighting for their right to be able to practice their Judaism. The Syrian Greeks who were ruling Israel at the time did not want the Jewish people to practice their Judaism. They were trying to make them like the Greeks, to the point where they were, you know, killing people who were not cooperating. And the Maccabees fought back, even though they were a very small group and it seemed hopeless and it seemed like they were never going to be able to be successful. They believed in the right thing, and they stood up for what was right, doing their part, and they were successful. And so that's the message still that we have today. And we're very lucky to be living in a country where we can practice our Judaism. We can practice it in public. We can practice it in celebration with our neighbors as well, and spread this message to everyone. This is the message that we want to give over to the community, another message of Hanukkah is that the way to fight darkness is with light, which is why we light the menorah as well, to commemorate this miracle, to spread. And actually, even though we haven't always been lighting public menorahs, the part of the observance of Hanukkah has always been to light the menorah, even within your own family, to light it in a place that is public. People used to light it by their door, by their front door, or, you know, more recently, by the window, to spread this message out to the street, to spread the light out to the street. And the only way you can fight darkness is with light. There's an old saying, you can't chase away darkness with a stick. You can just add light, and just you do your part. You keep adding your light, and hope that people get the message.
Freddie?
Anti-Semitism has been around for a very, very, very long time, and it comes in waves. It came, of course, we had pogroms in Eastern Europe. We had other horrible events. And minorities tend to be scapegoats. If there's an economic crisis in a country, if there's any kind of discontent, it's easy to choose a minority to use as the reason these things are happening. And I don't remember back. I wasn't born yet. But in the 30s, there was Father Coughlin spreading anti-Semitism on the radio. I'm not going to go into what has happened in Germany in the 30s and that led to war. But anti-Semitism can be handed down from within families. The song from South Pacific, you've got to be taught. You're not born hating others, but you're taught. And sometimes it's ignorance. And I think when there's discontent in our country, and there is now, there's polarization, there's discontent, there's no talking from side to side, people look for somebody to blame. And people have stereotypes of Jews. They're all rich. They control the media. They control the banks. They're the ones. They control Hollywood. They're convenient. And even though we don't look different, we are different. We celebrate differently. And although we fit into the societies we live in, we are different. Our names can be different. We may talk differently. A lot of us are from big cities. So this has all contributed. And Tree of Life, I know Squirrel Hill. I have friends that live there. And it's a very tight-knit community. And there are not just Jewish people that live there. There are people of all denominations, of faiths, of religions. And it was convenient for a man who was filled with hate, for whatever reason, whatever was going on in his mind, whether it was political rhetoric, whether it was just hatred he felt, maybe somebody did something to him and this is his way of taking it out on people, and he just walked in and massacred. And the tears that I felt, the tears that I shed, the sadness and the fear, because it can happen anywhere. But what, on the positive side, the people that reached out to me all over the country, friends from all over, non-Jews and Jews, it brought us all together. They wrote beautiful things. They told me I was not alone, that they were as saddened and angry as I was. And it's rising. Why is anti-Semitism rising? Why was a Columbia professor's office defaced with swastikas and racial slurs and religious slurs? Jewish professor a couple of days ago. Again, we live in very divisive times. And if this professor was very outspoken about her Judaism, she didn't hide it, which, you know, some people do, and she was a target. And it makes me so sad. My parents lived through it in this country. When they couldn't get into certain restaurants, they couldn't get into certain stores, to certain hotels, because they were Jewish. And now we're seeing a more blatant form again. And I think sometimes it's social media, it's hate groups that are on social media. People that feel isolated are attracted to someone that's going to say, yeah, that's what I need. I need to do this. I need to do that. And they take it one step further.
Just recently, though, what's your feelings? I mean, when you talk about hate groups, there's various hate groups on all sides. But, you know, when you have media people, as the CNN reporter or CNN columnist or CNN personality, I guess, professor from, I believe, Columbia University, just fired for saying what he did about Israel. You know, basically, you know, extinguish Israel. So, you know, when you talk about where the media is, it's always interesting to see where the bias sort of flows. And right now it seems pretty anti-Israel in a lot of ways that I've seen. And my question is, as the Jewish people around the world, is Israel the home base for Jews? Is it the star on the hill, the shining light on the hill for the Jewish community?
I think the land of Israel is definitely the star on the hill for the Jewish community. We've been waiting to return to Israel and praying to return to Israel for thousands of years. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every decision of the Israeli government is the star of the hill for the Jewish community, and that every Jew around the world necessarily agrees with every decision of the Israeli government. That being said, I do think that anti-Semitism comes from all sides, and a lot of times anti-Israel rhetoric can definitely stir up anti-Semitism. There's a very thin line between them, and it moves very, very quickly from anti-Israel to anti-Zionist to anti-Jewish in a very quick move.
Yes.
Is it convenient to use the isms against certain folks, certain minorities, whatever that would be. I mean, as the Jewish people throughout history have overstepped some hurdles, hurdles got larger, things have happened. But is it convenient, as you said, to scapegoat certain groups? Like in the Middle East, is it convenient to scapegoat Israel as the problem there? When you look all around and it's problems in every country, going back to World War I we talked about in the break, but when you have countries saying they must get rid of another country, that's pretty high rhetoric when you come into the world to say that. When Iran is saying that we must, you know, get rid of this state called Israel, and we must do everything in our power too.
Freddie?
It's very scary. The Middle East is such a hotbed, and I think when the State of Israel was formed back in 1948, there was a lot of hatred that a lot of the people in that area did not want to see Jews have a state of their own, and they were just so, they were willing to fight to keep Jews from being there. And Israel has grown so much. It is such a, it has done so much for the world in what it has given, but the hatred is still there.
Freddie Carlips from Lewisburg, a member of Habat of Lewisburg. Can you stay past 9 o'clock? We're really right in the middle of a fantastic element of this conversation.
Yes.
Talking about solutions, if it comes in waves, the ebb is right around the corner, so that's what we hope is coming. How about that? Mariasha Baumgarten is here as well, the co-director of Chabad of Lewisburg. Their public menorah lighting this Sunday, 4:30 p.m. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
There we go, Rob.
From the archives.
Robbie on the spot. Okay, thank you so much. Rob Center, fabulous producer, did a fabulous job all week. Even when I wasn't here, he was just plodding away, making sure that everything went very smoothly here on WKOK. So we very much appreciate that. Rob, you did a great job this week. Take a week off, why don't you? All right, he thumbs up to that idea.
When you're not here, though, you're here in spirit, correct?
I'm out listening usually.
Okay.
Yeah, was up at deer camp. I was the only person listening to the radio.
You had service?
I can assure you that. We're not that far away.
Okay.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The hometown pharmacies encourage you to know that every dollar spent locally when you go to a hometown pharmacy like the Shade Mountain Pharmacy on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, Trutz Pharmacy on Walden Street in Mifflinburg, when you see the Norrie Pharmacy on Duke Street in North Elmina, which Duke Street's wide open now. Danville Pharmacy on Mill Street in Danville. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop on Market Street up in Bloomsburg. And Lewisburg Pharmacy over there on 2nd Street. You find out that you get super service there, great prices. Some of them deliver. Some of them got drug take-back boxes. They all deliver personalized service on a first-name basis. And you'll find out that every dollar you spend there ends up rattling around in the community 10 times over. You can support a lot of people in your local community. If you start out at a hometown pharmacy, the employees and the staff and the owners there, they use that dollar to favor other hometown pharmacies. For example, if you're in Lewisburg, you start at the hometown pharmacy, guess what? That dollar pops up over at Champion Shoe. Next thing you know, it's around the corner at the acupuncture place, Trey Casimir's place, and then somebody's buying a copy of Susquehanna Life.
And then somebody's probably going to the Lewisburg Hotel for wings.
Exactly. In your home.
Adult beverages.
Yes, adult beverages. That's right.
It's just very important that you support your local community, and that's one great way to do it. Hometown pharmacies.
True trickle-down economics.
Yeah, trickle-down Main Street, we call it. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when you support your hometown pharmacy. So please do so and support our sponsor of the toll-free line, which is 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you today. Guests in the studio, Ben Reichle's here, local conservative businessman, and he's an American first, and he's here to tell us that The left is missing the boat on a couple of things. You have an open mic to tell us that a little bit later.
The boat is large. Everybody can be in the boat. The key to a successful country, community, is to everyone rowing the boat with somewhat of the same rhythm.
Oh, who is the...
football coach?
No, the man, he's in the president's administration, HUD, African-American. He's a doctor. I'm drawing
Carson,
it.
Ben Carson.
Yeah, he says...
Dr. Ben Carson.
There's a reason that the bald eagle flies so beautifully, because the left and the right wing fly together.
Yeah,
they work together. How about that? So that's the only thing he's ever said that I agree with. So
he wrote a pretty interesting book, and from rags to success. And that's an American success story in that gentleman, as many are.
All right, so we are here to talk about the fact that this Sunday in Hufnagel Park in Lewisburg, 4:30 p.m., Chabad of Lewisburg is holding what looks like it's going to be their annual menorah lighting.
Yes.
They really hope to illuminate the large menorah there, one light at a time, so you get the first light this weekend at 4:30 p.m., and as soon as the songs are sung and the words are said and the light is lit, they'll go down to the Grand Hanukkah Party at the Green Space Center, which is the old high school, probably, you know, five-ish or so, they'll be there. And everybody is invited to that at the Green Space Center. And there's a certain amount of frankness to it when you say they're going to be serving some oily foods. I just love that so much.
Well, that's the tradition.
Yes.
You can't avoid it.
Well, delicious tradition.
We can just, you know, revel in it.
Well, I was going to say, is this like any county fair in central Pennsylvania?
Yeah, yep, you fit right in. So that's that should be fun up at the Green Space Center this weekend. Well, we've been talking about anti-Semitism. We talked a little bit about the Tree of Life incident in Pittsburgh and just the tragedy that continues to unfold. You know, it's almost not subsided at all. You mentioned something in passing, that the menorah lighting should be public, that there should be a visible element to it. Elaborate on that, this idea that if you're of the Jewish faith and you're going to observe this particular holiday and with the lighting of the menorah, do so proudly and openly.
Well, actually, from the time that the rabbis instituted this custom of lighting the menorah, that this mitzvah, this commandment, which followed after the story of Hanukkah, a very big element of Jewish law is that there has to be an element of publicizing the observance of Hanukkah and the miracle of Hanukkah. It plays out in the fact that you have to light it when there are other people around, and you have to light it in a place where other people can see it. Bringing out this theme of Hanukkah, that Hanukkah is not just something that we celebrate for ourselves. It's not a Jewish observance that's celebrated only, so to speak, within the family. But actually, the whole point of Hanukkah is this Jewish pride and to bring the message out to everyone. Because this was the goal of the Maccabees in their revolt was, you know, we shouldn't have to hide, literally hide, in order to practice our Judaism, but we should be able to celebrate it with pride. And so we mark that spirit of the Maccabees. And we spread that spirit of the Maccabees through lighting the menorah in a place where it's prominent, where people can see it.
And so this Sunday, you're making a very welcoming and public statement of encouragement.
Absolutely. We want to spread the light throughout the whole community. Everybody is welcome. And we hope that lots of people, not just from Lewisburg, but from the whole area, will come and be part of this menorah lighting and the celebration after.
All right. With us today in the studio, I failed to introduce them again. Freddie Carlip is here of Lewisburg and just a very active citizen in our community. And Mariasha Baumgarten is here. She's the co-director of Chabad of Lewisburg. Her husband, Rabbi Yisrael. Okay. I just love that pronunciation. And is spelled with a Y?
Yeah. It's the Hebrew word of Israel.
All right. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yisrael Baumgarten is the rabbi for Chabad of Lewisburg, which is a facility. They have an address, and they would just love to see you there if you're a member of the Jewish community and you want to explore more about that. That all of that is sort of in plain sight if you want to find out about that in Lewisburg.
Can we get down to a real basic question for the folks in the Valley, which, of course, numerous religions, but most people love to eat. And, you know, in the Jewish faith, of course, the kosher foods and you know, somewhat kosher gets put into ultimate healthy foods, but we're talking about the oils. So can you give us a quick kosher diet that would sort of fit in? But it's interesting when you talk about the oily foods, because that's almost every celebration during the holiday seasons are good foods, whether they be oily or not.
Well, I use olive oil when I fry, which is healthier than
extra
many
virgin.
Other. Yeah. So it's just traditional to have latkes, which are potato mm-hmm. pancakes, which I think a lot of people are familiar with, and donuts, which are also fried, because we want oil, which is, it's the miracle of the oil lasting 8 days that we're celebrating. So oil is a big part of it. There are other customs that we've developed through the years, that games and other things. But kosher food has to go through more processes, especially kosher meat, dairy, and so that would make it healthier. And probably not always. I mean, when I think of the diet when I was growing up, which was a typical Eastern European diet, it was not particularly healthy food. It sure was delicious, and I sure love it and still eat it. But a lot of, let's say Israeli food is very, very healthy. There are a lot of salads, a lot of fresh fruit, a lot of fresh vegetables. And I think it would be wonderful to be able to integrate more of that in the American diet.
Well, a lot more of it. As you look around and you can see, I think the U.S. is, the waistline has expanded
yes.
Quite a bit in the last 30 to 40 years,
yes.
and I think that shows. But and interesting is Middle Eastern food is nuts and leaves and fruits and meats that are, I must say on the organic side, but you see
yes.
some differences, so.
The Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You and I should probably go on as we float through the boat through the Mediterranean and visit the ports on the Sunbury Broadcasting tour.
Junket. Yeah, we're going to have a junket. We talked about the fact that anti-Semitism comes in waves, and this is an up wave now. How can we affect a ebb of this? How can we get this to subside? Maybe subside forever. That would certainly, we can put that in your prayers. But what can we all do as a community to get this wave to subside?
I think that, like I was saying before, you can't chase away darkness with a stick. I think Freddie mentioned also that a lot of it comes from ignorance as well. I don't know that it's something that you can fight with a fight. You can't beat people into not being anti-Semitic. You can't shout people into not being anti-Semitic. It has to come from an understanding, an education, being exposed to Jewish people and to understanding that they're, we're all human. And even though we do have differences between us and we do things differently, the human spirit is what unites us, and that there's nothing to be afraid of by an outsider. And I think that also that comes with the general culture of uniting communities and being open to other people and not focusing on a divisiveness and intolerance between different communities. I think it's the responsibility of every one of us. That this is the message of the Maccabees again, that you don't give up because of those overwhelming odds. It feels like, oh, I'm just one person. I can't really do it. What difference can I make in this big, wave of anti-Semitism or whatever negative energy is spreading? But when we reach out to our neighbors and we reach out to our local people and we form communities together wherever we are, it fights the problem a little bit at a time. And we hope for that overwhelming success that the Maccabees had beyond what would seem to be their reach.
Well, I think your point about the menorah and the light, and light shines, and it's education, communication, but what you're talking about is the light. And when you look at most religions around the world, most are positive to a certain degree. However, when some of them get threatened, it seems sort of strange, the reactions of some communities. I mean, you don't find the Hinduism, Buddhism, you don't find the aggressive side of it. But in certain parts of the world, some of the religions had to be aggressive to survive. But the anti, whichever you're going to be, I would agree with you, education and a far more positive outlook.
You never hear about a Buddhist extremist.
And I know for me, I had an experience this week. I post a lot about being Jewish and about Judaism on my Facebook page. And every before Shabbat starts, which is Sabbath, our Sabbath, and it begins right around sundown on Friday evening, I will post something about it. And a friend, I spoke with a friend from the Lewisburg area who isn't Jewish, and we were just catching up on life, and she said to me, you know, I really appreciate everything you post about Judaism. She said, I didn't know much about it, and it is so interesting, and I hope you'll continue to do that. That is the way. Learning, teaching, reaching out, and doing it in a positive, loving way. There's how change happens, and it's not going to happen overnight, and it's never going to completely eradicate anti-Semitism or any of the antis. But slowly and surely, we can make positive change.
Not to be overly political, but I think it's very positive that Jared Kushner is getting the publicity he's getting, and it's talked about as, you know, the president's son-in-law who is Jewish, who's, you know, his daughter converted. I don't think, you know, when people say this and that, I said, what does that matter? I said, you know, I said it's far more positive when things are talked about. If he was X, Y, or Z, what would it matter? But I think it's interesting in you know, you get some communications or you get some dialogue, and it reacts. And I hope his endeavors into the Middle East are far more positive. I mean, there's been some positive stuff that he's been involved in so far now, and you hope somebody can, you know, he can be the point person that will bring some positive political actions to the Middle East. Time will tell.
One of our listeners observes, my question is, why are the majority of Jews anti-gun? That's my observation. Is that a through line through some aspect of the faith or anything that you know of?
I would say not.
Okay.
I mean, Jews are obviously anti-killing. It's one of the Ten Commandments. We don't murder.
But you will defend yourselves?
Okay.
If need be, absolutely. Part of Jewish law as well. And then, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, political questions about what's the safest way to do that, and I don't think that the Jewish community or the Jewish faith holds necessarily one way or the other.
All right. We're going to wrap up our time with Freddie Carlup and Mary Asha Baumgarten of Lewisburg, co-director of Chabad of Lewisburg. Mary Asha is. Please make a pitch, a sales pitch for folks to come out on Sunday.
Please come and join us on Sunday. That's this Sunday at 4:30. We'll be at Hofnagel Park. We'll be lighting a 6-foot menorah with the whole community. Everyone is invited. Jews, people who are interested in Judaism, people who just want to come celebrate with us. We'll be lighting the menorah at 4:30 at Hufnagel Park, and then we'll be celebrating at the Green Space Center at the old high school following that with lots of great Hanukkah treats and fun. So please come join us.
Freddie?
Come and join us because we'd like you to be part of the light, too. We want that light to reach out through our whole community.
All right, fantastic. Well said. Super. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. I very much appreciate that. Enjoy your Shabbat that starts this evening.
Yep.
And all observances. Very much appreciated, and enjoy on Sunday. I hope you get a good crowd there of folks that are pulling to bring that ebb sooner than later. So very much appreciated. Freddie Carlup and Mary Asha Baumgarten in our studio. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, brief news headlines and open phones. We see a bump stock ban is getting closer to reality with the president's endorsement. And what else? Michael Cohen in trouble with the law. Admittedly, we'll talk about that shortly.
Hometown Pharmacies, helping to keep you and your whole family healthy every season, every day.
Hello, this is Jennifer from the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. As the colder weather sets in, 'tis not only the holiday season that's approaching. Cold, flu, and pneumonia season will soon be upon us as well. The Bloomsburg Medicine Shop can vaccinate your whole family against some of the most common strains of the flu. Pneumonia vaccines are important for adults age 65 and older, and we can can help with that too. It doesn't take long, and it's one of the easiest things you can do to help keep everyone well. If you do find yourself under the weather, we'll fill your prescriptions fast and deliver them too. We are thankful for you, our customers, each and every day.
Now that's the way it should be. Your hometown pharmacy family taking care of your family. Simple as that. Hometown pharmacies in Lewisburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland, Mifflinburg, Danville, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street in Bloomsburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
Interesting evening, Mark. You're one of your favorite teams in the area, Southern Columbia Tigers. We'll be playing tonight.
The Cowboys.
We playing tonight, 7 o'clock in the semifinals. On their way to, hopefully, on their way to Hershey. Interesting when you talk about football season back in August. Southern is looking at playing all the way into December, which they have a
tradition. Yeah. It's a holiday tradition.
Yeah, yeah. If they're not practicing on Thanksgiving, something's gone awry there. But anyway, so the Southern Columbia Tigers will be playing over at Northern Lehigh. So we'll see how they do. I believe West Catholic is their team they're playing. So the team in the area that's still alive for a football title.
These big Catholic schools recruit players because of their face?
Their PIAA, I think Steve Jones and the guys in the afternoon get into that. But, Catholic schools have always recruited people. I mean, I'm not saying just for sports, but, I mean,
for religion.
It's a Catholic school. But the PIAA does need to come up with some situation. Other states have done it. You got the publics versus the privates. I think you got St. Joe's Prep that's playing out in Altoona against Pine Richland out of the Pittsburgh area, so a team out of Philly. You look around, but then you got two teams in that division, Harrisburg and Coatesville. So you got the publics and the privates. Football, yes, it does come into effect, but where you really see it is in the ladies' girls' sports, particularly basketball, field hockey, some of these sports where the privates and publics, it's just hard for they can compete because, as you know, you can have one basketball player on your team and you can win a state title. Right. But Southern Columbia, a team that's doing well. Also, you had the Lewisburg girls in it, and you also had who won the state title soccer this year?
Lewisburg?
Lewisburg was second. They lost on a penalty kick. And I'm trying to think of the school.
It was in Southern Columbia?
Southern Columbia, yeah.
Okay.
Girls
yeah.
won it there. So interesting the success of the fall sports coming to an end. And I know your buddy Kevin Herr is gearing up for basketball season.
All right, yeah. That's already on the way. So I think we already had a tip-off, so we got a lot going on around here. All right, some very brief news headlines, but we got open phones right now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Lewisburg residents are doing all they can to pull together to get the borough's downtown Christmas tree lights back up before Christmas. A GoFundMe page now started to raise money for the new lights in the downtown. Earlier this week, the borough said the current lights are in bad shape and they couldn't afford to replace them. $2,500 raised so far, a goal of $60,000 set on GoFundMe, and you can link to that at WDKOK.com. I see you scoffing over there. Let's talk about this.
I guess these lights weren't. Didn't they try to start this in August or September?
The borough may have known, but I think the public got informed. Daily Adam did a great article earlier this week that really outed the fact that the lights are out, but I don't know. I guess it's a big deal up there.
Well, don't you want to start this in June, July to start planning to.
If I have a charitable dollar, I'm not giving it to the Lewisburg tree lights, all right? I love Lewisburg.
Well, I can understand where you're coming from there.
That's
and I
it.
Think,
that's
but,
all we'll say
but
about
people
that.
In Lewisburg would do that.
They want to, sure.
So when you come out and you say, hey, in September we need to get this fixed, or maybe in June to have. And maybe they want to wait till all the construction's done and, buy new lights. But we've all been there where the light goes out on your strand and you go buy a new one, and it does happen at the worst time. So maybe there's more to the story, but hopefully Lewisburg can fund themselves and get new lights whenever they want to do it. And We'll see what happens.
If you change your mind, the GoFundMe link is posted at WKOK.com. A Wednesday hearing in front of the State Democratic Policy Committee talked about climate change, and for the first time, the business community's on board.
Those testifying included Kevin Sunday of the PA Chamber of Business and Industry. Sunday told the committee that there can be a balance between safeguarding the environment and the economic benefits of energy production.
With regard to greenhouse gas emissions, we support efforts in Pennsylvania which balance societal, environmental, energy, and economic objectives, fit rationally within any national or international strategy which may take place, and capitalize on the availability of Pennsylvania's diverse natural resources to facilitate economic development in the Commonwealth.
Sunday says the chamber is willing to work with government to achieve the needed goals, but rejected the views of some in the environmental community who want to abandon oil and gas production altogether. I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Should we bail out the nuke industry? Pennsylvania lawmakers sympathetic to nuclear power plants are now making a push for state action to rescue nuclear power plants at risk of being shut down by their energy company owners. Four lawmakers calling themselves the Nuclear Energy Caucus released a 44-page report calling for action to avoid plants shutting down and warning that shutdowns would devastate communities which depend on the plant's jobs and property taxes. The prospect of a bailout for nukes is spurring debate over why Pennsylvania ratepayers should foot the cost, or whether nuclear power providers whether nuclear power provides an environmental benefit in an age of global warming. Three Mile Island's owner, Chicago-based Exelon Corporation, announced last year that the plant that was the site of the partial meltdown in 1979 will close next year unless Pennsylvania comes to the financial rescue. Earlier this year, Ohio-based First Energy Corporation said it will shut down its Beaver Valley nuclear power plant in Pennsylvania, as well as two nuclear plants in Ohio, within the next 3 years unless Pennsylvania steps up and bails out the nuclear power industry. How about that? Welfare for the nuke industry. But keep those jobs going. That's the upside. They're family-sustaining jobs. A lot of unions involved in operating the nuke plants. But on the other hand, hey, if some aspect of our business community is unsustainable, move on.
To a degree. But we've seen the corporate welfare run deep and wide. And do you see it just recently with Amazon going into Northern Virginia and going into New York City?
Yeah,
area.
We offered them billions and billions of dollars.
Well, the states offered them.
Free money.
And we see that. And we see Elon Musk with Tesla, who gets huge subsidies. And people say, well, the coal and oil energies get that. Look at those subsidies. They don't quite add up and to be equal. We don't have the notes here, but that's ongoing. You want to promote an industry, you want to keep an industry, but at some point, when it's fish or cut bait, is the nuclear industry viable? And what's making it not viable? Is it competition? And we talk about climate, whatever term you want to put after climate. But you look at what natural gas has done. Natural gas has reduced greenhouse gases since, I think, 92. We look at what's going on there. So when you got alternative energy sources like natural gas, it might make other energy sources obsolete. I will say this. The nuclear energy industry around the world, it is amazing that Japan, France, some other places can build nuclear plants on time and on budget. The nuclear plant in Japan that got hit by the tsunami, unfortunately, architecturally engineered, wasn't correct. I mean, they had their generators on the first level instead of on the third, the problems they had there. But nuclear energy is somewhat scapegoated. And the political football in nuclear energy has been kicked around so much that I think just people are tired of it. Now, is there alternative energies that can replace it? Time will tell. But we're seeing coal-fired plants coming back. We're seeing coal-fired plants turning to natural gas for energy. And to drive the economy around the world, you're going to have fossil fuels in that energy source. You're not going to put airplanes in the air based on batteries. The realities might be coming down the road, but it's not here now.
Not now, but it will be someday.
Well, could be.
Someday you're going to have a battery powered plane. I could see that coming in.
And you're going to have
decades
ago. You have Star Trek. You want to go to a game in Wrigley Field? You're going to go down to the little center. They're going to beam you right to Wrigley Field, and you and your lovely wife will walk in and enjoy a game.
Oh, I can't wait.
And then you'll get beamed back.
There you go. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Feel free to give us a buzz. Should we bail out the nuclear power plants? We got the Susquehanna Steam Electric Station around here. Talon Energy owns that now, and that's the old PPL, and they are in the black and plan to be there, in the years ahead. Mm-hmm. But they do say that at some point the sustainability is not there. Natural gas is a factor in that. Plus, we're getting more and more efficient. Plus, we're still in a post-recession economy, so we haven't doubled or redoubled electricity use or anything, but we have new sources to burn it. So, or to make it. 1-800-795-9565. Should we bail out the nuclear power industry to keep those family-sustaining jobs going, plus in terms of our energy strategy? Is it good, or do you want to shut down your hydroelectrics and your coal-fired plants and your nuke plants and just rely on natural gas and put all your eggs in one basket? That doesn't sound like sound energy policy to me. 1-800-795-9565. Call us right now, please. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark. Mark Lawrence here. Mr. Ben Reichley is with us. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, On the Mark, sponsor for the Sunbury Motor Company. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line sponsor for the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We would just love to hear from you. Earlier today, we're glad to say that the members of the Chabad of Lewisburg organization, the church, were here, and Mariasha Baumgarten and Freddie Carlib talked about the menorah lighting this Sunday. To that end, one of our listeners sends a note. Good morning, everyone. Today's program is excellent. The community I live in has developed to a level where the menorah and the Christmas tree are in the same room. Christians living here are invited to share the Jewish foods at community events. We are invited to attend monthly classes in our learning center. Yes, we have differences, but we also have community where religious differences are appreciated rather than tolerated. I write this to let you all know that unity can exist when everybody works at it, says Larry, who's down in Texas. So we appreciate his email. Thank you very much for that. Yesterday we talked a little bit about climate change. One of our listeners says it's not just coal. At one time, most people in the East burned coal. It was replaced by natural gas and oil for the most part. So talking about the evolution of fossil fuels in the U.S.
And that's what the energy industry is. I mean, at one time they burned wood. But you look at what coal does and how the different forms of coal burn and the BTUs, the energy it gives off per pound of, however you want to judge it. Coal is what made the world change into the industrial age and the use of it.
Well, we didn't bail out the coal industry. Bailing out the home heating oil industry. As many homes as can are switching to natural gas. Should we bail out the nuclear power industry? My vote is no. Just let business take care of business. We have enough corporate welfare going out. I understand jobs will be lost, but some of those individuals could transition to natural gas-related jobs. Or
they could.
Working on building new natural gas power plants had a huge, tremendous economic impact around here. And now that the natural gas plant in Shamokin Dam is underway, it doesn't have hundreds of employees there. There's a couple dozen that work there.
Yeah. It's the evolution.
Not hundreds.
The maturation of energy and industry and commerce. And we've seen that happen from, the beginning of time. But you look back and then you see the industrial age that started late 1800s and the 1900s here in this country, but also what happened in the developed worlds, developed countries around the world where industry has evolved. and we're now industry still evolving. There's places in certain parts of the world that are back in almost the 1800s or early 1900s. So hopefully we can move that forward.
All right. To one of our listeners says, so when a nuke plant stops producing electricity, what happens to the nuclear waste? It gets buried, right?
It gets buried, ship it to Normandy, use the technology. But you have to look at the history of nuclear energy, and I believe, as we talked about earlier here today, the term scapegoat. But I think the nuclear power industry got scapegoated, and it got scapegoated with the movie back in the... Was it the China syndrome? And then, you know, one thing about Three Mile Island,
back
if people look back at Three Mile Island, Three Mile Island happened, the accident happened. And what I understand talking to people who were involved down at Three Mile Island is they panicked and basically shut everything down, closed everything up, and it heated from inside. They didn't properly... What I understand from people I've talked to is they didn't go through the protocol that's needed, and they made the situation worse because they panicked. Once that happened, boy, I know a number of businessmen who sold their stocks in the company. You know, things just rolled the wrong way. And also, we talked about nuclear power, I believe, far more efficient in other parts of the world. But to build a nuclear power plant here, they seem to be over budget,
a couple trillion
over time,
dollars now.
And it was ridiculous. But that technology, if you talk to energy scientists and people who are in that, the nuclear technology can be very efficient, I believe. It's the regulation hurdles that are making it not. And who does that? The politicians.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We got two callers waiting. One is off topic, one is on topic. So we're going to let our on topic caller go first. And then we're going to switch topics to a new topic on this Open Phones Friday. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the mark.
Well, gentlemen, nuclear power is something that had been considered for a long period of time. But when the science fiction people got a hold of this idea, they decided that it would be better to put a magnifying glass in outer space and direct the sun rays in order to create the heat. In other words, they were looking for climate control, and the nation that can control the climate could change the world. Now, all these people that are looking for alternatives for coal and fire and everything, man migrated in the seasons in order to stay warm. And he found ways in which to cover himself in order to keep warm. But nobody right now has any idea as to what they're going to do with the energy once it is used or burned out. Now, the sun creates its own energy by implosion, and that's not by explosion, but by using the energy that is given off by it, they reuse it. So we're not really gaining anything because we're trying to control what we don't have control of.
Well, I would say, Paul, if the sun decides to do what the sun wants to do, we don't have a whole lot of options because...
Does the sun have a decision-making component?
Yeah. Or, if the board of directors of the sun
decides to turn back the temperature, we're going to be proverbially up the creek.
Okay,
if they turn up the temperature, we're going to be proverbially burned on the creek.
Take in consideration that maybe... The gravitation pull of the sun is so great that it's pulling the Earth maybe 1 inch or 1 foot or 1 yard at a time closer to its destination, in which case the Earth will go into the sun and be destroyed.
We'll find out some rocket propulsion to make sure that doesn't happen. All right. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. We now have open phones. We'll talk about absolutely anything you want. President Trump's in hot water thanks to his personal attorney turning state's evidence and helping out the prosecutors. Of course, we saw Paul Manafort at a court date this week. So we'll take all comers. Let's talk about Trump Tower Moscow version, or if you have any other remarks for our open phones Friday, give us a buzz right now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150 and everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 Echo Sports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford Echo Sport, now is the time. 2019 Ford Echo Sports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at your holiday dinner or to the buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, open phones, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Steve from Sunbury, thank you so much for being patient. You are on the mark.
Good morning. So the news came out yesterday that Trump Organization was pursuing, taking steps, any way you want to put it. They wanted to build a tower, a building, I guess, similar to Trump Tower in Moscow, and that actually the Trump Organization had been trying for 30 years to build such a structure in Moscow. So my first question is, what's the big deal? The guy is a businessman. He's a realtor. Why wouldn't he be trying to build a building like that in Moscow? What's the big deal?
That's a fair question. And like I said, it goes back a long period of times. But remember, any inkling of information that the media can attach to be negative towards either the president directly, his family, his organization. We've seen that play out over the last periods of time. So if you look back at this, before he was running for president, it wasn't a big deal, and I think your point's well taken. It's been going on for 30 years.
So I have a second question then. Why did he lie about it? Why during the campaign and even after election, why did he lie about it?
Or maybe it's private business information.
I don't know. When you're saying how did he lie about it?
I saw clips this morning, video clips. I counted 8 of them. 8 specific video clips in campaign appearances and in interviews where he said, I have no deals in Russia. I have no business in Russia. I have no proposals in Russia. I have no deals that could turn into a deal. Why did he try so hard? You know, he wasn't revealing anything private. You know, he could have just as easily said, yeah, as a private businessman, I have pursued building a tower in Moscow. That's what I want to know. Why did he lie about it? I counted the video clips, 8 separate video clips, and the man lied about it. Why?
Well, I haven't seen any of the clips. I'm sure you were watching CNN and MSNBC or one of the groups there. When he said he had no business, you'd have to look at the timing and what they consider, the Trump Organization considers business. But on the other hand, the clip I saw was that he said, he goes, what would it matter if I was pursuing business as a private citizen while I was running for president? And I think that could be any person. So I think the part and I believe you have to look at timing and what you're saying on the clips in the context of the clips when they would be said.
The context was pretty clear, Ben. The context was very clear. He was lying. He didn't want people to know that he was pursuing business opportunities in Russia. That's all the context.
But that was known, and that's part
even
of
even after.
That's
even
part
after
of the
Michael Cohen, even after Michael Cohen testified in court yesterday, even Trump's lawyers said, "Yeah, what Mr. Cohen said pretty well lines up with our responses to the special counsel."
I don't think so, Michael Cohen was testifying in court yesterday.
I think he was.
Well, he did a guilty plea.
No,
yesterday.
He wasn't. Got a guilty. Yeah. So, again, I'll have to look at these clips and see. But the stuff I saw was the president. You know, you got the phony dossier, so you knew the president was in Moscow. But as a private citizen, if he was pursuing business, or people from his organization were pursuing business, but they were also in the Bahamas. They were also, I'm trying to think, in Asia.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about Bahamas. We're not talking about Asia. See, this is what gets me. Two things. Number one, you know, if you folks, if the Republicans want to love and worship Donald Trump, that's fine. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But when people say the man is a liar, and then Republicans try to say, well, no, he's not a liar. Yeah, he's a liar.
That's not what said it all, Stephen. Here's the point you're trying to make. You're saying the contents of what he said. I have not seen the videos you're talking about. You're saying there's eight of them. Okay, well, I'll go on the internet and search these out. The point I saw the president say yesterday was in the clips was that he was, and I think it was on CNN. He was getting ready to leave for the, or actually, yeah, he was getting ready to leave for the summit.
Yes.
In Argentina.
Right.
He said, "Hey, if I was doing, you know." What, you know, what he said about
right.
Michael Cohen's Michael. But he said, hey, I'm a private business person. I was
Absolutely.
Doing my business as I'm doing that. So
yes.
your parts of where was he lying that you're saying? Was it a clip on the campaign trail? Was it a clip recently?
All right, we got
clips.
Another caller. Go ahead, wrap up, Steve.
Well, all I'm saying is the clips extended through 2016 into 2017.
Okay.
And
so he was running for president.
As a private business person, even as a nominee for president, yes, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, which is why I come back to the question, then why did he feel compelled to lie about it?
Maybe it's just
time will tell.
Maybe it's just keeping it.
Time will tell.
Keeping it private as a business person.
Yeah, you got an email here from our usual emailer.
Oh yeah, consider the source, right? Oh my God, these Trumpers will forgive or forget anything. Is there any line they won't cross?
I don't consider myself a Trump or Margaret, and a line that crosses. There's a line that a lot of the progressives have never got to. So it's sort of interesting how we see what went on the last administration. And we see with this, especially with the former president running around saying, nobody in my administration was ever indicted. Well, that's because of the situations in your administration. But I'm sure Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is breathing easy. And we'll see what happens in the future. But if Donald Trump was lying, I'll go back and we'll look at these pieces here that the caller was talking about. But like I said yesterday, I think he made it pretty clear that he was a business person he's running. Like it or not.
We got a caller standing by, but I got to tell you something very important first. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They invite you to do as I have done. Go to the Quick Lane, North 4th Street in Sunbury. Get tires on your vehicle. Get that state inspection. Get the vehicle washed. Get it lined up. Get that dent fixed. You named it. If you need it done on your vehicle, it's running a little rough, just time for an oil change and spark plug change. The car still have spark plug?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, good. They specialize in everything at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, make sure your tire's running efficiently and smothly. Open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mr. Al, we have got 30 seconds left, but you have the floor.
Okay. Well, it's too bad we don't have video of the Trump Tower in Moscow. It's beautiful. It's so extravagant, and Putin has a penthouse on the
on the top floor that's $12 million, you know,
to rent it. So, $12 million a year.
Let's show me some pictures of that, because I saw the scams and the TV.
Well, he bought the election. He can afford anything.
Yeah, I would say I would look at the Clinton campaign and the ties to the Russians as much as
Oh, yeah, they sold all the
this.
Uranium to the Russians.
All right, thank you very much, 20%
of it or something like that through Canada.
Thanks,
Al. That's all right,
first thing Monday morning. Bye. Appreciate it. This is WKOK Sunbury. Time for Dan Patrick.